Thursday, the 6th of April, 2023, Maundy Thursday, Evening Service. Sermon Series, Towards the Cross. Sermon Title, The Servant King. Bible Reading, John chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Talk by Reverend Kate Scheinman.
The reading's taken from John chapter 13, reading from verse 1 to verse 15. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was turning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and this is why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing her feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And this is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. Thank you, Carol. The Servant King. I want to tell you a story. A vicar asked the congregation about volunteering to serve. Sound familiar? We've lots of jobs people can do. Tea maker, gardener, washer-upper, cleaner-downer, children and youth ministry, odd job person, tech person, preacher, pastor, worshipper, help the elderly in the care homes, cake bakers, knitters, hospitality, and so on. A few signed up. But the next time, the vicar added an unusual job at the top of the list. Foot washer needed. No one came forward. Why would that be then? We wash our own feet. Some of us might have raised children and washed their feet. Maybe you're a medic or a carer or a nurse and you do this daily for a living. But why would the follower of Jesus Christ be reluctant to wash feet? Perhaps a bit cringy. Or what if someone offered to wash your feet? That might be a bit close for comfort. And we've got the bowl and the water here. Who might be up for a foot washing later? Martin said in his 9 a.m. preach last Sunday, "How can we join with others to serve God rather than putting ourselves first in the center of the universe?" And tonight in this Holy Week of Passiontide, our Lord and Saviour ate his Last Supper with his disciples and washed their feet. Jesus turned how to love on its head and what it meant to serve others. How might we be imitators of Jesus, a God who came to serve and not to be served, who served with humility, without fine clothes, without ego? He was the ultimate servant king, who left us a template from his God-breathed word, how to live as ambassadors on earth, and occasionally get our hands and feet dirty. It's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Let me pray. Father, we enthrone you. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us. Show us how to serve, how to do it well, and how to lay our lives down and follow you. Amen. We're now in the greatest love story the world has ever known. Jesus has just ridden into Jerusalem on a colt. Palm leaves were waved in the air, thrown onto the path. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the crowd shouted. Jesus also predicted his trail that led him to his death on the cross. And on this evening, Maundy Thursday, thousands of years ago, Jesus Christ ate the simple meal and washed the feet of his friends. Hardly what a proper king would do before being crucified. Do you know what I have done for you? He asks us. So Jesus, giving up greatness and power, he was from God and would return to God. He came down to earth from heaven, the long-awaited and prophesied king, the Messiah, the anointed one. And tonight, on the eve of his death, Good Friday, who is this king of the Jews? The king, but not as we might imagine him to be. What does society think of kings in positions of power and authority? Though we may love the royal family, they don't appear like ordinary folk, do they? They've got privilege, and though we follow their every move with a certain bit of intrigue, they are distant from us. King Charles, he's the head of the Church of England now, the new head of the Church of England, and he is preparing for his coronation. He's the king of this land and of the Commonwealth, and we honour him and we pray for him, and we should. But what sort of king is he or will be? One that can influence politicians about climate change, yet born with a silver spoon in his mouth with servants to do lots of things for him? Not a refugee Messiah king who was born in the dirt and whose earthly dad taught him to carve wood. Jesus, the head of God's church, is all about descending from the heights of supposed kingliness to the depths, whether that be the dirt of the cradle, the fishing with smelly fishermen, reclining and dining with greedy tax collectors, touching and healing women of disrepute, touching lepers, putting spit into the eyes of the blind, living amongst the dead before raising them, that is, and so on. The phrase descending from the heights might mean different things to us. We are not kings or queens, you know, who fall from power like Edward VII, who abdicated from the throne to marry twice divorced Mrs. Simpson. Our falling from grace might look less dramatic. Perhaps once you had a great career and you gave it up to do something with less pay, something that would change society. Or perhaps choose a simpler job, or no job, or a path. You didn't want to miss the important things. You wanted to love God and to love your family better. Perhaps ill health has knocked you for six, and your dreams have been shattered, and you plummeted. I'm sure many of us have fallen from what we felt was success, up in the heights for all to see and notice, then to be have brought low. When I gave my life to worship and follow Jesus, I was pulled into the lowest place of pain. In the darkness, I touched the dirt and squalor, metaphorically speaking. I descended from the heights of turmoil and success. the rescue from the heights for me by the giver of life. At first, I felt alienated, confused, and alone in that place, though that would change. The God of all creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, known as the Trinity, are in this wonderful dance of love, in a relationship. We're at times unhinged and even separated from each other, alienated and alone. Can you believe that? That even God in his Son experienced descending the heights as he came in flesh from heaven to the fallen world up close, climbing into the mess of our lives and of the world. He hung on the cross, crying out, "Why have you forsaken me?" And also in death, he crossed into the depths of hell before rising to glory, from the heights to the depths. This is the story. This is our God. The gospel story is not only what we read or hear about in Scripture, says vicar and evangelist Hannah Steele, but one on which Christians build their faith and live. Jesus, our God, suffered much for love, undergoing torture, stripped of clothes, naked humiliation, dying the ugliest and most excruciating death for all to see. Is this the kind of king you love and serve? Do you see Jesus as weak and strange? Or do you see a God who understands, is full of mercy and compassion, and has insight into those in need, and kneels on the floor, washing tenderly his friend's feet? This action of servanthood is our hope. And it was installed in those first disciples to do the same when he was gone. Now, this expression the table to the floor, Timothy Keller writes, is quite an interesting analogy of the one we love and adore. He describes it as kneeling love. Jesus forfeited his throne to get up close to us, and quite literally lays low with the people around him, those society might ignore and walk by, those of difference and otherness. This was kneeling love. And for those who came on the Lent course, remember we had some of those challenging conversations of those in the neighborhood who were different to us. How can we kneel and serve the community, especially strangers? And I'm sure I sit here tonight with you, my brothers and sisters, and we might be in agreement in our souls when we say, "Lord, sometimes I don't think I can give any more. We're really tired. We haven't got much faith. We're sick. We're lost. Our family and friends are suffering. The world is breaking." We say it. Jesus, on that night, faced a barrage of emotions. The joy and love of sharing that last meal. The hurt he felt at the hands of his betrayers sitting around the table. The insolent, rebellious disciple not wanting his feet washed. The anguish of the cross before him. And yet he knelt in love and served to fulfill God's plan. The disciples would have already washed their feet, entering that upper room for the Passover meal, as was the custom before communal eating. You know, the roads in Palestine were red and they were dusty, yet Jesus started to wash their feet. What could that have meant, they asked? We're already clean. Peter said, "No, don't you wash my feet." "Well, you won't be a part of me, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet." Jesus also meant that this washing of feet was also an act of forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins. But Peter would only understand that after the death and resurrection of Christ. Because that's what Jesus came to do. This is not anyone washing feet, but your Lord and your teacher. All hierarchy is blown away here on this level footing, literally. Everyone is an heir of Jesus, and he knows us and our needs. This is our belonging. Walter Brueggemann, a theologian, says, "The faithful and the unfaithful were there that night. They were called all to proclaim the kingdom of God despite their weaknesses and lack of faith and understanding. Yet at Pentecost, they would advance in the power of the Spirit with the good news to the end of the age." Paul the Apostle says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news," Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And we're talking of feet, but how? We don't really think of feet as beautiful, do we? Like Paul says in that phrase. In reality, the feet are full of like calluses and dry and crusty, or maybe a bit hot and sweaty and broken and chipped toenails. You know, it's winter, we haven't quite dusted off our lovely toes yet. They're all a little bit like that. And these are the feet that Jesus would have touched, washed and caressed. Though the analogy of foot washing and being a disciple serving like Christ is really about the beautiful feet that carry the good news. The news that we are loved and forgiven by grace, that his death will not be the end, but the birth of life for us all. This is the message, and we are all called to bring it. A few verses along in John 13, Jesus says to his disciples, "Where I am going, you cannot come. But," Jesus said in verse 35, "a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." They didn't know where he was going. Well, we continue this journey, Passiontide week, to the cross, and we will be reminded once again what this great story is about and why we believe it and how we live it. We know in hindsight through testimony and scripture where he was going. Imagine being in the upper room. The King of all salvation kneeling like a slave at your feet, urging and inspiring you to serve, to get low, to let go, to kneel in love to those of your neighbors. Matthew 20, 26, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And as I finish, "Do you know what I have done for you?" Jesus asks us. "Do you know what I have done for you?" Tonight, our emotions and our feelings might be all running all over the place as we free fall into the greatest love story of all time. We can lay it all down right now as we experience the power of descending from the heights and kneel in love through our Lord's grace and humility. And as we serve together in this great mission and take bread and wine in communion, we will remember him. Amen.